You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit VOTR.church.
Amen. Amen and good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We're alive. I know from now on until the end of the year, you're just going to see me get larger and larger, and then we'll call a corporate time of fasting in January, and I'll get smaller and smaller. It'll be something to witness. I hope you had a great holiday and Thanksgiving. Thanks to Zach for all the hard work he's putting behind Love Foco. If you're new to the church, you don't know anything about Love Foco, I'm going to talk a lot more about it next week, but in short, a building was donated to our church. And we're not using it for church activities, we're using it for community activities so that we can care for the under-resourced families and individuals in our city and beyond. And I'm going to share a lot because there's been quite a few things that are happening that are exciting to share. And so next week we'll give a more of an announcement update on all of that. But today starts the season of Advent. And if you were here, you saw us light the first Advent candle. And Advent, simply means arrival. And it's a way that we can remember and honor and celebrate the Christmas season. And so each Sunday, you'll hear a short reading at the beginning of service. We'll light the different candles. But then during the sermon time, I'll also be opening the scriptures and preaching from a specific part of scripture that talks about the birth of Jesus Christ. And that series is all kind of bundled together in a series that we've titled First Responders, but we're not primarily talking about like emergency vehicles and triage units. We're talking about how the first people responded to the birth of Jesus Christ. What did they do? How did they respond? And when you look at all of those scriptures, what can that mean for us today? If you look at our culture just on a quick glance, you notice that we love quick and immediate responses right now. And oftentimes people are responding before they even have all the facts or the understanding. If you watch football or if you watch ESPN the day after a football game, especially if there's a major upset, everyone freaks out and everyone wants to point fingers and blame other people. It's called Monday quarterbacking. And they always critiquing and offering their first response, often unfairly in comparison to what actually went on. This is everywhere. It's not just sports. I mean, it happened with the election, right? Too soon to talk about the election. Too soon? I thought because we're in December now, I can do that. But I mean, the morning after the election, everybody's talking about stuff, right? Like who won and why did they win? Who lost and why did they lose? How is this going to impact our daily life? What is this going to mean? And everybody was pointing fingers, you know, all of these things. It's the first response. It's always interesting to watch. And on a slightly lighter note than the election, you know, we had a first in our family, our youngest little Gabby. She just got braces on. And when she first heard from the orthodontist that she was going to get braces, she was so happy. She was so proud. She was running around telling everyone about it. I think it gave her a sense of maturity as she was growing up and everything was going to go well. And her first response was one of incredible delight. Now, my first response as the dad was a little bit of sticker shock because I found out how expensive it is to make a nice smile. And then I realized that, you know, that sticker shock, it did turn to thankfulness. My parents paid for braces for me, and I'm very thankful because this gnarly looking smile needed to be fixed. I mean, my preteen years, I just had teeth going in every other direction. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful to my parents that they ponied up and did that for me. But Gabby, she was so excited. She was so excited until she actually got the braces on. And then that first night at dinner, it moved to immediate regret. She's 8 years old, and out loud at dinner, she goes, "I immediately regret wanting braces." Immediately regret. It's cute and painful all at the same time. This is our nature. We want to respond quickly. We want to respond right away. And the first responders in scripture, they're fascinating to pay attention to. Again, how did people first respond to the news and the action and the birth of Jesus Christ? And today, as we start this series, we're not actually going to be looking at humans at all. We're going to start with the angels. We're going to start with the angels. How did the angelic beings of heaven first respond to the activity and the news and the birth of Jesus Christ? You know, Christmas about 2,000 years ago, it was filled with supernatural activity. It was filled with angelic events, and they were taking place everywhere. Angels were everywhere. They all had glad tidings of great joy. And whether you're super familiar with the Christmas story, or you have no idea about the Christmas story, or maybe you kind of know it, but you don't know how it works in the Bible, we're going to work our way through that in order this morning in the coming weeks. You know, the birth story of Jesus is primarily found in four chapters of the New Testament, Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. And so if you're following along with your Bibles, you can mark those two spots. Otherwise, it will be on the screen behind me. But these four chapters, Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2, you see at least five different angelic visitations take place. We're going to look at four of them this morning, saving the fifth for a future Sunday. But when you study these passages, there's really two main themes that come into focus, two key thoughts that come into focus on how the angels first respond, how they respond to this advent or arrival of Jesus. These two categories are simply, they're always speaking of Jesus and the angels are always praising the Lord. They're always speaking of Jesus and praising the Lord. They do this in a variety of different ways. We'll look at those this morning. But the angels showed up as first responders, and they were always talking about Jesus and sharing the name of Jesus. And at the same time, they seem to always be glorifying the Lord and praising God. So we're going to start in Luke 1. I'm going to read a short section of Scripture, and then we're going to kind of move our way through the Gospels of Luke and then Matthew this morning. Luke 1. Verse 11, when Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." And as you keep reading in this gospel story, the angel goes on to say that even though you haven't had children yet, you're going to have a son, and you will name him John. And John's purpose is to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus. Your son will prepare hearts for the arrival of the Messiah. The angel had a message. Even though the message was about Zechariah's son, it was actually about how his son would prepare the world for Jesus. And if you keep reading in Luke chapter 1, the same angel by the name of Gabriel shows up to Mary just a few verses later. And again, the angel Gabriel is speaking of Jesus. He's talking about Jesus, telling others about Jesus. It seems like the name of Jesus is always on Gabriel's lips. Luke 1, verse 26. I'm going to read a few more verses this time. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." In that short passage, there's just so much theology. It almost pains me to not unpack it all this morning, but we'll share future Sundays together. And so for today, I just want to notice, and I just want you to notice, and I want to point out that the angels, again, here we go, they're always talking about Jesus. The angels have seen it all. They've been around for a while, and still, they're always pointing people to Christ. I'm going to look at one more passage kind of on this first idea of how they're always speaking of Jesus, this time in Matthew. And in this particular passage, an angel shows up in a dream, which is fascinating for a whole host of other reasons. But again, the angel is seen in Matthew 1, he's speaking about Jesus again and again and again. Matthew 1, verse 20. This is talking about Joseph now, as Joseph considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And we'll talk about Joseph in the coming weeks and how he first responded. But look at the angel. Again, speaking of Jesus, instructing the people about Jesus, talking about the Savior of the world. In verse 21, the angel even says, "Name the child Jesus because he'll save people from their sins." He'll save people from their sins. I mean, this is the gospel message. This is the good news that we talk about every single Sunday, that if it were up to us and if it were up to our own strength and our own ability to modify our behavior enough that we could be seen in God's sight as righteous and good, if it were up to us, we could never make it. We don't have what it takes. We need a Savior. We need Jesus to save us from our sins. When we run to Jesus, when we find faith in him, when we surrender our life to God, he saves us from our sins. And this is good for us to hear every single week, because if you've been following Jesus your entire life, it is interesting how over time you start to trust in yourself more than you trust in God. And so we need to be reminded of this. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never started this life-saving, eternal relationship with him, one where you recognize your inability to save yourself, but instead you throw your life into his arms, trusting in his sacrifice, trusting that he will save you. This message is the beginning of what that can look like. If you've never done that, we'll help you take a huge step towards starting a life with God later in our service. And I can tell you, if you've never done that, it's the best decision that you'll ever make. The angel says in this passage, he'll save us from our sins, but also that Jesus is Emmanuel, that God is with us. God is with us. I mean, think about the powerful truths that you run across in the Christmas story. Sometimes they become so familiar we forget about them, but he is Emmanuel. God is with us. This is how the angels show up time and time and time again. This is how the angels respond to the first coming of Jesus. They're just telling everyone about him. They're speaking of Jesus, that his name fills their mouths, fills their every breath. And it just begs the question of all of us this morning, how are you then speaking of Jesus? If they're speaking of Jesus all of the time, the question for all of us is, how are you speaking of Jesus? I mean, even Target right now is saying Merry Christmas. I don't know if you've noticed that. That's kind of the big news around. They used to say Happy Holidays, and now they've switched it to Merry Christmas, and it's causing quite the ripple effect in the big box stores. But of course, telling people about the birth and the glory and the transforming nature of our relationship with Jesus is a lot more to do with the actual life and breath and transforming nature of a relationship with God than it does switching from Happy Holidays to Merry Christmas. But I have found over the years that people tend to talk about what they love. People talk about what they love. And the angels loved and they worshiped Jesus, and so they talked about Jesus all of the time. I mean, think about it. People share, and often they share without shame when it comes to the very things that are at the center of their heart, the most important things in their life, the things that they have come to love. Right now, I could talk to you for at least an hour about the last restaurant I went to. It was a double date. Natalie and I, we went with Matt and Terry, and it was one of the coolest places I've been to in a while. They didn't just make sushi. They brought you a whole fish. Four of them, actually, and you picked which one you wanted. They took it back, and they started slicing it up, and they brought out to you sushi, sashimi, and different rolls. You ate the whole fish that you just picked out. It was a fantastic experience. I could talk about this for hours. I could tell you that now my new favorite place in Old Town to get a cinnamon roll is Breadfellow in Old Town. And I could talk for days about how Ted Lasso's Kansas City barbecue t-shirts always bring a sense of food nostalgia to our time from the Midwest. And I realize now that all three of the things I just talked about have something to do with food and how much I love food and how I'm willing to talk about food. I love food too. People talk about what they love. They talk about what they love. And how much more has Jesus changed us and transformed us and redeemed our lives in comparison to our favorite restaurant or favorite TV show or favorite sports team? I mean, I could talk to you for years about my favorite stories in this book. About how when I open these pages, I find myself in these stories. I could talk to you for years about what I'm still hoping for in terms of how I want to continue to grow and be transformed by Jesus. I want to talk about him all of the time. How are you currently speaking of Jesus this time of year? I am convinced, both theologically and anecdotally, that God has already placed people in your life that need to hear your gospel story. The way that Jesus has changed your life and transformed your life. I'm convinced that he's already placed people in your path, that there are people in your life that need to hear the gospel message from you. And oftentimes what I've realized is people just need to be reminded that we can place our hope in Christ. They just need to be invited into a community that will help them on their spiritual journey. They need someone to articulate a different vision for their life, because when you drift and you drift and you drift, sometimes you can forget about the hope that we can find in Jesus, and they need to be reminded. And God's already placed people in your life. And soon, if not now, he's going to ask you to start reminding people of his good news. Yeah, I recently met a family who came to the Vineyard strictly because one mom invited another mom to church. And the kids found a home here. The dads ended up connecting. And now when you look at the trajectory of this family system over the next 5 or 10 years, everything is changing because one mom had the courage to share and invite and bring someone along with her as she spoke about Jesus. If you just look around the room, there are empty seats that God may invite you to fill. You could fill an entire row. Our church has always been good at inviting people and serving our city. It's what Love Foco is going to all be about. And there's no better place to explore your faith than inside of a community or grow your roots down deep. And it doesn't matter if the people who are near you or on proximity to you have no faith whatsoever. This is a hospitable place for people to explore faith in Jesus Christ. And honestly, if people had faith and they've walked away, this is a hospitable place to come back home and find your relationship with God all over again. I think God, even as I'm preaching, God will lay names on your minds and on your hearts right now of people that he has positioned in your life because they need to hear your gospel message. I mean, we went to two services. We went to two services because it seemed like God was up to something. Something was happening to our church. The kids' rooms were at capacity and the parking lot was getting hard to navigate, both between the cars and the potholes. You had to find your spot. And even in this room, listen, this time of year, you will be surprised at how a personal invite might change someone's life. And we've made it so easy. You go to votrweekly.org. You can grab the textable invite. You can put it on all the social interwebs. You can text it to a friend. You can bring them. You can take them out for lunch afterwards. Your invite might change an entire family or an entire generation. I try to invite about a couple hundred people to church every year. And honestly, most of them are random. Little conversations I find myself in here and there. But I can tell you the ones, there are like 5 or 6 families that right now Natalie and I are investing in a big way. And we're praying for them and we're having dinner with them and we're inviting them into our home. We're sharing meals with them. We're inviting them to church. And we're far from experts. I would say maybe a 10 or 15% take rate. Maybe. And when I say take rate, I mean even engaging in conversation with us. 10 or 15%. We're not batting 1,000, and I doubt you will either. If you start batting 1,000 on invites and people just giving their life to Jesus from you having conversations with them, please come and talk to me because I want to learn what you're doing. The percentage actually isn't the point. It's the faithfulness. It's the expression of what's happening in your heart. If he's in the deepest part of your heart, isn't it natural to talk about what we love? It's very natural to talk about what we love. You see it in the angels, and it needs to be true in our lives too. I mean, again, the angels have seen it all. They've been around for a few hundred generations. And still, Jesus makes them so excited that they can't help but talk about him. They can't help but talk about him. When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? And let me just throw this caveat. When's the last time you talked to someone outside of this room about how Jesus has changed your life? What would it take to make that a priority again this Christmas season? The very first way the angels responded was by speaking of Jesus. The next thing you see them do is they're praising the Lord. They're speaking of Jesus and praising the Lord. And most of the time, this is going to be really shocking to you. I know it's going to be like earth shattering to you. But most of the time, when they were praising the Lord, it was quite exuberant. It was exuberant praise. I mean, it didn't always include singing in the scriptures, but most of the time it did. And in other parts of the Bible, it included dancing and jumping and leaping with joy, which are some things that I do more in my private time with the Lord than I do in front of all of you all. But it seems like in scripture, they're even boasting about the Lord in song. They're declaring his goodness and their passion for him. They're sharing their delight. They're glorifying in the Lord. And sometimes, I think if I could just critique the American church for a moment, sometimes the American church is more like the frozen chosen people of God, where we just kind of sit still and we love God with reverence and fear, but not always with exuberance and praise. And we are a redeemed people. He has saved us from our sins. He has transformed our lives. He has blessed us with eternity, and we can experience the kingdom of heaven on earth today. This is something we can lift our voice for. If you look at Luke 2, I want to flip to Luke 2 and read one more passage here. Actually, I'll probably read a couple more passages. But Luke 2, starting in verse 8, look at what the angels do here. It says, excuse me, it starts by saying this. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." I mean, you're talking angels upon angels upon angels upon angels, and they're all praising God. And by the way, they've been doing that their entire existence. And they're still praising. They're still worshiping God. They're still giving him glory. Something happens to the human heart when you stop looking at yourself and you fix your entire being on the Lord. Especially this time of year, which is kind of all about me. Right? Our culture takes Christmas and we kind of hijack it and make it all about me. Worship will help you turn it out back to the Lord. You can praise God for all kinds of different things. You can praise God for the past. That's thankfulness. That's thankfulness and praise. And if you feel like he hasn't done anything for you in a while and you're waiting and you're hoping and you're praying for that breakthrough that you're desperate for, you can praise him in waiting, and that's called faith. Both thankfulness and faith can be expressed in praise. It's thankfulness when you look back. It's faith when you look forward. And something that I love about this passage is that our first responders for today, these angels, they had these two responses to Jesus. They were always speaking about him. They were always praising him. And both of them were 100% contagious. 100% contagious. I told you I was going to read one, maybe two more. Here's the second one. If you just continue reading in the Gospel of Luke at verse 15, you see that the shepherds basically do the exact same thing they see the angels do. Let me pick back up in Luke 2, verse 15. "When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone." 17. Let me just read it again. "After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened." and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Verse 17, it says the shepherds told everyone. And verse 20, they went glorifying and praising the Lord for all they had heard and seen. The angels did it, and now it was the shepherds' turn. They were doing the exact same thing that they saw the angels do. You know, our last spiritual boot camp, it was on Advent. And if you miss it, it's okay, because we still have a way for you to sign up. We have a daily Advent exercise that you can be a part of. You'll get a text every day that will solicit worship and praise and help you engage in Scripture and help remind you that the Christmas season isn't just about me, but it's about Him. And you can sign up for that at VOTRweekly.org. It could be a great way for you to praise God on Sunday, but praise God Monday through Saturday as well. I mean, this is our calling. It's part of what we're designed to be. It's part of who we're called to be. And if it's hard for you to imagine yourself as an angel and kind of a wonderful celestial being up in heaven praising God and always speaking of Jesus, that's okay. You can just think of yourself as a lowly shepherd. They're both in there and they're both doing the same thing. I mean, all my best days, I like to think of myself like a wonderful celestial being with flowing blonde locks and just singing a wonderful song to the Lord. But on most days, my hair's a lot greasier and I cover it up with a hat and I don't sound very good. I just go about my business. As Bristow said a couple weeks ago, shepherds stink too. So it's not really pleasant to be around me very much Monday through Friday. But I will still love the Lord. I will still speak of Jesus and praise God. So really, the beautiful thing about the comparison between the angels and the shepherds is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how highly you think of yourself or how lowly you think of yourself. In the kingdom of God, everyone gets to play. And we're all called to the same types of things. We all need to be speaking of Jesus and praising the Lord. The angel's response was simple. It was simple, but it changed lives. The way they responded was contagious to the people around them. And as they went about their business, speaking of Jesus and praising the Lord, it helped people prepare for the birth of Jesus Christ. They were speaking of Him and they were praising about Him. And I feel like I'm always trying to grow in both. I always want to grow in both of these things. So this Christmas season, I mean, just want to encourage you to pray and ask God, who has He placed in your life? Who has He already put in proximity to your life that needs to hear about the message of Jesus, that needs to be invited into the family of God again, someone that you could sit by, someone that you could have a meal with, someone that you could begin to plant seeds about the gospel in their life? Who needs to be reminded of the miraculous things God can do with a human life? And how can you praise? How can you lift your voice? Yes, when we gather together, but how can you lift your voice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? I want to be people, and I want to encourage you as a follower of Jesus to respond like the angels this Advent season. To have the name of Jesus on your lips, and to praise Him and glorify Him in everything that you do. Let's pray together.